Monday morning, and that's agenda time on The Takeaway. We're going to check out the agenda for the week and try to figure out where the news is going and what will be setting headlines for the week ahead. We're joined by Allison Stewart, host of PBS's Need to Know. Allison, what's your word of the week?
Inevitable.
Inevitable. And Allison, what's inevitability to you?
Inevitability, you know, I was looking forward and I was thinking, you know, we've been talking about BP so much and we're all really excited about this possibility that it's capped, although
right.
there's
I was just
possible
say,
seepage.
And, you know what was inevitable.
I think it's inevitable that BP is going to continue doing business almost as usual, unfortunately.
Almost as usual.
Yeah.
All right, that's inevitability. Chrystia Freeland, global editor-at-large for Reuters, your word?
Consequences.
Consequences for what?
I think this is going to be a week when we are dealing with a lot of consequences of actions in different areas. BP is one. The other is we are going to be, I think, have a lot of focus on Afghanistan. There's a big conference coming up.
Yes, indeed.
And I think we're going to be talking about consequences of the big financial party of the past decade when we have the British Prime Minister come to Washington.
All right. Inevitability and consequences. Let's start it off with BP since you both mentioned it. Now, they've placed a new cap on the well this week. It seems to be holding back the gushing oil. Here's BP Chief Operating Officer Doug Suttles talking about that new cap on Sunday.
2.5 days in, the results continue to look encouraging, but it's critical that we continue with this extensive monitoring program and evaluate that on an ongoing basis.
Now, we have relief wells coming in, Allison. That'll help control the damage from the oil, hopefully. BP needs to be controlling the damage on their brand. The Times of London is reporting that they're planning to restructure.
Mm-hmm.
Restructure what? The metaphor of deck chairs on the Titanic?
Well, see, that's the question. Restructure can mean a lot of things. That
right.
can mean selling off small parts of their assets, which has been reported as well. But it can also mean that Tony Hayward is flying around the globe trying to shore up their financial bottom line. I mean, he met with the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi last week. This morning they announced that they've gotten a new contract off the coast of Egypt. So while we're all focused here in the United States, they're going internationally to shore up their bottom line. And if you go on their website, they're still planning a very big deep well drilling off the coast of Alaska where they've been for over 40 years. It's called Liberty. You have to dig past all their quote-unquote reporters and all their videos. But if you go down, it may be put on hold. It was supposed to start as early as this fall, but the hold may be only 3 months.
All right, and that could be leading to business as usual, as you say. Allison, let me turn you to Congress.
Sure.
Quickly, there's a new senator coming in from West Virginia, 36-year-old Cart Goodwin. He's replacing Robert Byrd, who died a couple of weeks ago, of course. But the first thing he's going to vote on is unemployment insurance. We've been talking a lot about it on this show.
Is that tomorrow? It's tomorrow, right?
He'll be sworn in on Tuesday, and then the vote comes shortly after, as far as I understand it. What's at stake here for unemployed people?
Everything. Uh-huh. I mean, who doesn't know somebody who hasn't been unemployed in the past? I was unemployed in the past 2 years.
We're talking a couple million people
without
their checks.
Absolutely. Right. And I've heard actually many friends who are still unemployed. The idea that we would be cutting off a flow of income into our own system, I think, is really frightening to think about.
All right, Chrystia, you mentioned the conference in Kabul. Let's go overseas now to Afghanistan. This conference is set to start tomorrow. Delegates from all over the world discussing how to hand over more responsibility to the Afghanistan government. Certainly something the Secretary of State talks about. Certainly something Richard Holbrooke talks about. Lord knows the President talks about it all the time. Hillary Clinton will be in attendance. Where are they headed here? Do you think they can establish some firm plans to start handing over responsibility to the Afghans?
Well, the key word in your question there is firm. I think that thinking about consequences and inevitability, an inevitable consequence of the war in Afghanistan is it's hard to make firm plans. But what I do think is important about this week is two things. The first is this: we've been talking a lot about the military side of the operation. This week is going to be really interesting because much more of the focus is on civil society. And, of course, the dream scenario for the Western players there, first and foremost the United States, is to start handing over to the civil Afghan authorities. I think the other big element which has really started to come into play in the whole engagement with Afghanistan in the United States, but also in the other countries that are there, Britain, Canada, and so on, is the fiscal problems are really starting to bite for all of us back home. And I think that we are already seeing and will continue to see mounting pressure on governments to get out of Afghanistan as quickly as they can. And I think that that is going to color the interactions there.
And probably back home, too, because one of our most important partners in Afghanistan in the NATO force there is Great Britain. And Chrystia, David Cameron, the new prime minister, is on his way to the White House for full-length meetings with President Obama this week. Vice President Joe Biden is forecasting this a little bit. He was on ABC's This Week. Listen.
We are in the process, which is painfully slow and difficult, of training up Afghani forces in order to put them in a position they can deal with their own insurgents.
Chrystia Friedland of Reuters, how did David Cameron and Barack Obama position a credible message on reducing cost and getting out of Afghanistan this week?
Well, I think the difficulty is credible to whom? I think both
Indeed.
Of them are going to be under, already are under a lot of domestic pressure to try to cut the commitment, blood and treasure. And for Cameron, this is going to be particularly acute because the British government has embarked on really an astonishing experiment in fiscal austerity. They have been slashing budgets by 20%. That is huge. To be doing that and at the same time be fighting outside your own country in what, at least for Britain, must be a war of choice, that is really difficult. So I think that that is going to be a really important subtext of the conversations between the Prime Minister and the President. Another issue they're going to be talking about, to come back to the beginning of our conversation, is BP. Because BP, of course, is a hugely important British company, and there have been real concerns in Britain as the spill became a bigger and bigger issue in the United States, that there was some sort of anti-foreign or anti-British sentiment at
Indeed.
Work.
Indeed, and it's going to be a big part of the conversation between the British Prime Minister and our President, Chrystia Friedland, global editor of editor at large at Reuters, Allison Stewart of PBS's Need to Know, both joining us. Thank you so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.